Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Hey, welcome to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros. I am your host today. Thanks so much for joining me today. Spending a little bit of your precious time with us. We always like to be able to bring speakers and authors, as I mentioned before, that can help you in your business or that can help you with the personal development that it takes and the confidence that it takes to walk out there and do your thing, so to speak, because as we all know, entrepreneurs, it is not for the faint at heart. It truly is not. It is the most rewarding thing that I have done, but it is certainly not for the faint at heart. My guest today is Janet White. Janet is the founder and president of the JW Speakers Agency, and she teaches business owners how to use the power of public speaking to grow their business. She is also the author of Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small Business Should Know About Selling. So I'd like for you to join me in welcoming Janet today. Janet, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Linda.
You know, Janet, cold calling, I am telling you that there is nothing more that will make me break out into a cold sweat than to think about cold calling. And I am not alone out there, Janet. What in the world is it that made you discover, or how did you discover that key to cold calling and how you can have more closings out of it?
Okay, there is a major misconception in the world that, and most people buy into it, that cold calling is probably one of the worst things you can do, and or that it doesn't work. Well, I build my business on cold calling. I love to cold call because I've discovered many, many years ago the secret to doing it right. Cold calling simply means you are speaking or contacting somebody for the very first time you haven't talked to before. That's all it means. It's cold in that you are a stranger to that person. But if you understand that that is a person and not a prospect, then you can approach them from one human being to another. A very wise man in the Middle East many, many years ago gave very sound advice on how people were to treat each other. He said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Mm-hmm. Well, if you apply that to cold calling, it makes perfect sense. You don't like to be picked and hustled, neither does anybody else. So why would you do it? Instead, you understand that the person you're reaching out to has need or a challenge or an opportunity or a problem, and what you have to offer might be able to help them. Chances are you're going to get a really warm reception. Mm-hmm. And I discovered that when I was 16 years old. And I used it and used it and used it and found that it absolutely is infallible. So when you approach...
Now, wait a minute, Janet. You said you discovered this when you were how old?
16.
Oh, my goodness, girl. And how did that come about at 16?
Okay.
You must have had
a
lemonade stand.
All right. I'll go through the story very quickly.
Okay.
I grew up in New York City. I belonged to a teen fashion group put on by a local department store. And that year, this group was part of a New York statewide teenage consumer conference, which meant that we got on the bus one Saturday and we drove up to Albany and we met with other teen fashion groups from around New York State, and we had workshops and breakout sessions and all of that. Well, one of the speakers, now have to remember, this was the fall of 1968, tells you how old I am, all right? One of the two speakers, one was the top model of the day, Colleen Corby, whose name probably doesn't mean anything to most people these days, but she was a big hit with us. The other speaker was a guy named Cousin Bruce Morrow, who at that time was the number one disc jockey in America. He was the number one disc jockey on the number one radio station, WABC, in New York City. And, of course, all of us downstate girls knew who he was. So I'm sitting there like everyone else, going, oh, Cousin Ruby, remember, I'm just an ordinary kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm watching him do whatever he was doing on the stage, a voice inside my body said, I'm going to meet him.
Mm.
This was my intuition telling me the truth, and I'd learned years before to listen to that inner voice because it's always right. So I didn't argue with it, but I just started having a conversation with it because it seemed very unlikely this was going to happen. So I said to it, now remember, I'm sitting there, and all of this conversation is happening in my mind, right? And I said to my intuition, okay, I'm going to meet him, but why would he want to meet me? I'm just an ordinary kid from Queens. Okay, this is the why that's inherent in every sales situation. What's in it for him? And I thought, I know, I'll interview him for my high school newspaper.
Wow.
No, I was not writing. I was not writing for my high school newspaper. But because he's a celebrity, I knew they would print the story if I gave it to them. But I had to get to him, right? So I figured, okay, I'll write him a letter. Well, he was, as I said, he had 4 million listeners a night. This was big time radio. The WABC is still a legend in top 40 radio. Anyway, I came up with all the reasons why he would never see my letter. There's got to be a WABC fan mail machinery. He probably gets hundreds of fan letters. He's got to have secretaries and people who go through his mail. And even if by some miracle he does see my letter, he's so important and so busy being Cousin Brucey, I'll probably get a form letter that said, thanks for listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember, when you reach out, you have nothing to lose. So I wrote him this letter, and I told him I'd just seen him and that I wanted to interview him, and he wrote me back himself, and he said, come on up to the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm 16 years old, and I'm sitting in the WABC studios with Cousin Brucey and my girlfriend Ellen, because I wanted a witness, and I wrote up the story, and they printed it. So I learned at 16, if I treated Cousin Brucey, this celebrity who I put on a pedestal, like a human being who was flattered that this teenage girl, and his audience was teenagers, by the way, high school teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So how could he say no?
Mm-hmm.
And starting with that, 4 years later, I interviewed Stephen Sondheim, the Broadway composer lyricist, for my college paper, and I asked him if he'd come out to my school on Long Island to speak to us because we were raving Sondheim fans, and I used exactly the same approach with him that I used with Bruce. And do you know what he said? He said, I'd love to.
Wow.
So before I'm out of college, I had discovered that if you treat people like people, regardless of how important you think they are, they'll respond positively.
Absolutely. Now, Janet, how do you think things change now that, you know, we are in the world of digital marketing? How does that play into the approach
people,
that you take now?
Digital marketing is no different. It's simply an online version of what we used to use as letters. We used to put stuff in the mail. This is no different. People are still people. Mm-hmm. If you send me an email that pitches and hustles on how great you think you are and why all these reasons I should do business with you without understanding that I'm thinking what's in it for me and there's nothing mm-hmm. in it for me. It's all about what you want and how great you are. I'm not gonna respond positively. But if you write me an email or a letter, okay, however you want to transmit that information to me, from my perspective, think in terms of my life, my needs, my interests, my concerns, and suggest, you know, maybe there's a way that whatever you have can help me get me what I want, I'm going to respond positively as opposed to mm-hmm. ripping it up or deleting it. And that's mm-hmm. why most cold calls don't work, because they're mm. primarily, they're, you're, if you as the seller, you're coming at the prospect from I'm going to get you perspective as opposed to how can I help you perspective.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's a
different
totally
way of
different.
Thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When
Very
you
different.
Change your thinking, everything changes. What you do, what you say, how you act, and most importantly, when you change the way you think, you change the way other people respond to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the hardest thing you will ever do, to change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And it's more about taking on the role of being a servant. You know, how can I serve you, instead of taking on the role of a salesperson? Now, the end result is certainly we get a commission check. But mm-hmm. starting off with conversation.
Let me stop there, right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. The end result should be everybody wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't just get a commission check, okay? You get a commission check because you have helped somebody solve a problem, fill a need, take advantage of an opportunity, and or make themselves feel good. That mm-hmm. is, those four are the only reasons anybody buys anything or gives money to cause or volunteer or does any reason anybody says yes. Solve a mm-hmm. problem, fill a need, take advantage of an opportunity, especially one they don't know about yet, and or make themselves feel good. You will mm-hmm. be paid when you mm-hmm. help somebody else get what they want. That
sure.
a long time ago, who was it that said that? Very famous
Zig Ziglar
said that.
Yep.
Well, actually, what he said was, you can help somebody, you can get anything you want as long as you help somebody else get mm-hmm. what they want first.
Right.
Well,
right.
Based upon my experience and 40 years of living this, 40 plus years of living this, I've actually changed that saying. And it's become, when you help somebody else get what they want, they will automatically and gratefully help you get what you want. That's why the goal should be everybody wins.
Right,
you will
exactly.
get paid, as long as they get paid, whatever it is
sure.
they want, you know, not necessarily in money, but they get what they want, you get what you want, and everybody wins.
Now, the one thing that most of us are afraid of when it comes to cold calling is rejection. Dun, dun, dun. So how do we deal with the rejection, Janet? Because somebody's
okay,
going to say no to us.
And that's okay. You see, this is one of those beliefs that society has built into our psyche. First of all, there is no such thing as rejection in business. It doesn't exist because rejection is personal. We've all been rejected personally. We all know how that feels when the kids say, we don't want you in our group, right? We've
mm-hmm.
all been we've all been disappointed by people we thought cared about us. That's rejection. When someone you have a relationship says, I'm out of here, that's rejection. Okay, we've all been there because that's human, part of the human experience. But business is all about transactions, usually involving money. there's nothing personal about it. If I offer you a hot dog and you don't eat processed meat, you say, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
Is that a personal, right, is that a personal rejection to, on me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I say, okay, that's fine. Would you like a salad? And you say, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're declining the opportunity to have a hot dog is equivalent to me suggesting a speaker and the group saying, no, thank you, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually tell me the reason. And it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the speaker. You see, it's impersonal, especially when you are speaking to people you probably will never meet. And most of us do business by phone. I certainly do business across the country by phone. I'll never meet 99.9% of the people I do business with.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them say yes. That's the whole idea. But occasionally, some people say no thank you. Like when I'm recruiting speakers, when I'm recruiting business owners to become to work with me, sometimes they say no thank you. And here's the thing too, another belief in our society is that the worst word you can hear in no, right? You can tell that. Okay. Actually, that's not correct. No is the second best word you can hear. The best word, of course, is yes. The second best word you can hear is no, because a good, clean no is final. And you can move on. The worst word you can hear in selling
maybe.
Is maybe.
Oh, the dreaded
there's
maybe.
No closure. That's right. So you want a no. You want a final no. Some people are so polite that they won't tell you no. They'll just keep you dangling. That's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and all you can do is just say, can you make a decision? Is it no or is it yes? And and then you move on, because you can't waste time with maybes. A maybe almost always turns into a no, which is why you should be tolerant. Because treat a maybe like a no and move on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Rejection, if you realize that rejection is personal and there's nothing personal about someone saying no thank you to an opportunity you're presenting to them, which is what sales is all about, then you can't get all emotionally involved in, no, my God, what am I going to do? You know, I'm going to lose my house if I get another no. And that ties into another belief in our society, which is, you have to get a certain number of no's to get a yes.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
That's what you hear, that you have to get 10 no's to every one yes.
Right.
Now, you know what? That same wise man from the Middle East did something else. He said, it is done unto you as you believe. So whatever you believe to be true becomes your experience. If you believe, if you really have accepted in your gut that you have to get 10 no's before you get a yes, you will get 10 no's before you get a yes.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I like hearing 10 yeses to every single no.
Mm.
It's all a matter of choice, you know?
Absolutely.
There are no rules in this game of life. You make it up as you go along, and you decide what works for you. I like hearing yes a lot. I get paid when I hear yes. So I make sure I get a lot of yeses and very few no's.
On that note, what's the best way to get a yes then? We've talked about the no's and the maybes. So I want more yeses, Janet. How can I get more yeses?
Well, it ties back to what I said in the beginning. You got to think of the person that you are trying to recruit. Now, listen to my language. You are trying to recruit as a potential client. Not as a prospect you are going to get money from, but someone that you are, someone you've never talked to before, doesn't know you from Adam, you're approaching them for the very first time, either by phone or by email. You have to think in terms of what's their life like? What's their situation? What is generally, what is happening in their work environment. And you don't, of course, you'll never know the specifics, but you can make certain guesstimates. And that's a word I made up. An educated guess on typically what is facing a small business owner who happens to be my market. I work a lot with attorneys. Attorneys are like all licensed professionals. They're busy doing whatever it is that they do. Chances are they're not particularly marketing savvy. Chances are they're real good at what they do, but they want more business. They want more clients. And they want a way to share some of their knowledge without advertising, without it smacking of any kind of impropriety. They want their reputation is key. So in all of that, I have to show that I understand a little bit about their situation, or I can guesstimate their situation, and then suggest a way that they might get out there, like public speaking in this case. Other marketers might use email, take the same approach to website design, take the same approach to whatever it is that you want to offer. But you have to put yourself in their shoes. Look at the situation from their perspective, pitching and hustling. You're teaching or explaining and persuading. That's what true selling is. Chances are you will get a warmer reception than if you pitch and hustle. And the other thing, too, if you really want to get paid, if you want that sale to go through, you have to do the one thing that most people who sell do not do.
What's that?
You have to follow up.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get paid, you have to follow up your initial reach out. So if you sent an email, you call the next week. You don't wait for them to call you. If they call you, terrific. But you started this conversation. It's up to you to carry it through.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why most salespeople fail to get to make sales, because they simply send out emails and sit back and wait for the phone to ring. And then it doesn't ring, and they say, see, told you it wasn't going to work.
Janet, let me give you a perfect example of that that has happened to me in the last month. So I love being able to offer my clients additional services that by giving them referrals to some, you know, by having someone else provide them with something that I don't, but it would help them.
Sure.
So I had that situation where about a month ago, a lady says, what I have, your clients need. I agreed 100%. She said, I'll get in touch with you. She didn't get in touch with me. I saw her at another networking event the following week. She said, oh, give me your card again. I want to reach out to you because I know that I can help your customers. I said, okay, here's my card again. Following week, I still had not heard from her. Someone else approached me with that same product. And they said, Linda, let's sit down. I want to do it right now. I did. So here we are a month later. I've already found someone that followed up with me. Okay. I was ready to give them a book of business. But because they didn't follow up with me, what that would tell me is they would not respond to my client any different. I can't turn over my client to someone who will be treated that way. So that's an example of not following up.
Exactly. And that's true whether you're making a sale or you're looking for work and you want to get hired. Your following up or failing to follow up is it shows the person you want to do business with how professional you are.
Absolutely.
So if you fail to follow up, you're right. That's exactly how she would treat your clients.
Yep.
She would fail to follow up with them because she failed to follow. She probably even forgot she had talked to you in the first place.
Yeah.
Things are falling through the cracks. She has very poor records, no system in place for seeing things through. Exactly. That is why she didn't make the sale. She could have. Mm-hmm. You were buying. And
yep,
someone
exactly.
else came along and said, let's do it now, because mm-hmm. that person sensed you were ready. You were buying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what a lot of contractors do.
So when we talk about follow up, what is a good rule of thumb when it comes to that, Janet, so that it doesn't look like you're stalking someone, but it just it does let them know that you're interested in doing business with them? What's a good rule of thumb?
Well, in the email or in your letter, however you're, or in your phone call, you will tell them, I will give you a call next week.
Gotcha.
You leave it open to what, quote, next week means. You don't say, I'm going to call you on Wednesday at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because at Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I may be out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly am not going to make time to talk to a total stranger who insists on scheduling something on without letting me know what my schedule is, you know, without acclimating himself to my schedule. So you keep it open to, I'll call you next week. And mm-hmm. then the following week, you call. And if they're not there, you leave a message. And if they still don't call, you call in a week and a half. Now, you have to remember that people have lives. You have no idea what is going on in their life. They could
right.
be sick. They could be traveling. They could be on vacation. They are not ignoring you. And even if they are, you can take that as, I'm probably speaking to the wrong person. And that's
mm-hmm.
common. You know, that is a good thing, too. First of all, you have to know who you're talking to. You want to always speak to the decision maker, not an
mm-hmm.
underling, not somebody who can pass the buck, but the person who can give you a yes or a no. And that's typically the business owner if you're dealing in business. If not, of course, you're speaking to consumers. If someone does not get back with you after a month of you calling every other week, or you take that as a no and move on.
Mm-hmm.
If they mm-hmm. are interested, after all, they know you're trying to reach them. If
right.
you keep hounding them after that, you have transitioned to being a pest, and they
yeah.
definitely won't do business with you.
Absolutely.
So there's
yeah.
a very fine line between staying in touch on a periodic basis and being a pest.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not yeah. want to do that. I am known, for the people who work with me, they know if Janet says she's going to call, she calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you can count on it, because follow up is my middle name. If I don't follow
mm-hmm.
up, things fall through the cracks and I don't get paid. I like getting paid. So I have to follow
mm-hmm.
up. And that
mm-hmm.
means having a system in place. So if you use, I recommend a database like ACT or Goldmine, or there are dozens and dozens of
sure.
database management, CRMs, who call them customer relationship management software programs out there. Live
mm-hmm.
on it. Learn to use it. That way you've got everything at your fingertips and you don't have to remember anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there for you, and you've got your histories, and you've got your phone numbers, and your contacts, and your emails, and everything is there. And all you have to do is take the next step, send that next
mm-hmm.
email, make that next phone call. For some business situations, follow up is every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
My vet, for example, I just got a new kitty, and my vet checked him out. He's in perfect health. See you next year. We'll send you a card. That's his way of following up.
Yeah.
Work for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to remember
absolutely.
It because he's got it in his system. And a year from now, he'll say it's time for his vaccinations. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Janet, we need to take a quick commercial break. However,
sure.
before we go, if someone's listening and they say, I want a copy of that book, I want to know more about Janet, what she does, how can they get in touch with you? How can they get a copy of your book?
Well, the book, Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small Business Should Know About Selling, is on Amazon. So you can get it there. I don't have a website for my sales coaching, but if you like, you can go to my business website, which is www.jwspeakersagency.com. If you are a small business owner and a service provider, I'd love to chat with you about doing public speaking.
Great. Folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Janet White on cold calling. And don't let it scare you off, because it's not as scary as you think. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show. This is Linda Ballesteros. My guest this morning is Janet White. She is the author of Cold Calls to Closing. And I tell you what, Janet, you've really shared some great information about a different approach to cold calling. And tell me a little bit more about the shift that someone would have to take when they approach cold calling using your philosophy.
Well, that's why I wrote the book, because it's not something you can do. It's not like here's a secret formula and everything's going to change instantaneously. It's really a completely different way of thinking. My approach is based on common sense, sound business judgment, and an understanding of basic human psychology. And I wrote the book so that people can look at what I call the traditional system, which is what the world teaches us. This is how you're supposed to get a job, or this is how you're supposed to make a sale, which is exactly the same thing, by the way. Making a sale and getting hired, there's no different. So anybody who says, oh, that's no, it's exactly the same approach. You're dealing with people who have problems, who have needs, who have interests and concerns. And whatever it is that you have to offer might be of help. You notice I'm different. I'm not selling, I'm suggesting. Nobody likes to be sold. But nobody minds a suggestion.
Right.
That's one of the keys. So a quick way to start shifting your thinking is to say, what is it that I'm thinking when I'm selling? How do I view, or what do I think of the person or people or company that I'm trying to do business with? Do I snicker at them under my breath thinking, I'm going to get this guy such a jerk? Well, you're being disrespectful. And I have to tell you folks, We live in a world of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And people are not only you are not only a transmitter of energy subconsciously, you're also a receiver. Well, so is everybody else. So if you are thinking, I'm going to get this guy, ha, 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 and you're even thinking that on a level you're not even aware of,
mm-hmm.
that person at the other end will pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to do business with you. Or they're going to give you a very difficult time. So
mm-hmm.
you have to think in terms of, here is a person with a genuine need or concern or interest. They don't know me yet, but perhaps what I have can be of service to them. And when you come up with that approach, you are transmitting a different frequency, a different energy wave, and they will respond to that frequency as opposed to, I'm going to get what's mine, I'm going to make all this money, and instead, how can I help you? And also keeping in mind, they have the right to say no.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, go ahead.
You know, Janet, a few months ago, I did a presentation on franchising, because that's what I do, is I franchise. But there were four of us that did the same presentation, well, not the same presentation, but on the same topic of franchising. And I had part of my presentation, I said, I am not as concerned about the transaction. I'm more concerned in matching you up with something that will be successful. I want to see you mm-hmm. succeed, and that's important to me. And I had someone come out of that. They interviewed all four of us, and they went with me because mm-hmm. I looked at their lifestyle rather than looking at which franchise would give me the biggest commission check. So I think
it's not all about you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's not about selling you and what you have to offer. It's about them and what
yes.
they need or want.
Absolutely.
And that's the shift. And it's a conscious shift in the beginning. You have to consciously say, wait a minute, am I talking about, here's a really great way to know if you are focused on yourself or you're focused on the other person, okay? If you look at what it is that you're, like a sales email that you're writing, okay? Or whether it's a job for a job or sending it out to people you want to make money from, essentially, make a sale to. Here's a very easy way, and I outline this in the book. You count the number of I, me, my, our, referring to yourself or your company, okay? You count all those I's, and then you count the number of you's, you, your, the name of their company, their name, okay? We, us, and our, referring to you and the person that you're doing business with, cancel each other out. You're neutral. If you have more I's than you's, you are talking about yourself. You should have at least double the number of you's, the number of I's.
Mm.
And when that's the conscious shift. You have to look at what you're writing. Count the number
mm-hmm.
of I's. Who is this letter about? Who is this email about? Is it about you, meaning the person that you're writing, the person who's writing it, or is it about the person who is reading it?
Mm-hmm.
If I wrote you a letter, Linda, okay, let's say that you invited me to stay at your weekend house, your country house, and I wrote you a letter and I told you how wonderful, what a great time I had, and I was so excited to be there, blah, blah, blah. And you'd go, well, yeah, nice, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's not a word in it about you. But if I wrote you a letter and I said, I want to thank you for being such a gracious host. The food was so wonderful and the atmosphere, and you took the time to be with me and to
yep.
show me all of. Now the letter's about you. And how
yep.
do you feel about me? Wouldn't you want me back as a guest?
Mm.
Because I was so appreciative. You have good feelings about me. This is the whole point. You have to understand that a cold call is the first, it is the most important part of the sales process. This is something that most people don't even realize. It is so important that I call it first contact, just like in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
about it. In Star Trek, they go through extraordinary measures not to reveal themselves while they're doing their research, right? They'll,
mm-hmm.
they'll be invisible and they'll do all kinds of things, but they're not going to make first contact, eyeball to eyeball, until everything is right. And in fact, there was one movie when something went wrong. There was actually first contact made before they were ready and everything got messed up. But it's true in selling too. First contact, it sets the stage for whatever happens next. And
mm-hmm.
if you mess up first contact, which 99% of the people who sell do, nothing happens afterwards. If you do first contact right, you're actually starting a conversation with somebody. Most situations, and you know in your line of work, that's true in mine too, nothing happens immediately. We
right.
have a conversation, we think about it, we do some homework, we go back and forth, they sit about it, they think about it some more, they review the paperwork with their attorneys and their other business people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
after both parties have gotten comfortable with each other and come to terms, then you can move forward. And even then it's like, well, okay, I'll sign, but...
Right.
Unless they are comfortable with you, that's not going to happen. And that
right.
all starts with first contact. They have
sure.
to like you. You see, we only do business with people we like. So the goal of first contact is not to make a sale. It's to get them to like you.
That is critical
gonna
to know, Janet. Critical to know.
Okay.
The first contact...
Nature.
Oh, my goodness, the first contact. Folks, if you don't remember anything else this woman says, please remember, first contact is not about making the sale.
It's not even that. The most important part of the sales process, we're taught, is to close. That is not correct. The most important part of the sales process is first contact, because you're
sure.
not going to get to the close unless you do first contact right.
Not at all. Not at all.
And that's why it's critical. You mess up first contact, there won't be any close.
Right.
But if you do it right, if you treat the person that you want to do business with like you would like to be treated, with respect, with dignity, like a professional, even if you're talking to consumers or non-professionals, you still treat them with respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, instead of a prospect I'm trying to do business with. You treat them like a human being. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Approach them the way you want to be approached. Chances are they will talk to you, and they'll continue talking to you. And even if they won't do, they can't or won't do business with you for whatever reason that typically has nothing to do with you, let's say they don't have some money. That's a good reason not to do business
mm-hmm.
with them.
Right, okay. right, definitely.
Chances are they know somebody. And they will, they will either refer you to them or refer them to you, which is even better. 6 months
even
down
better.
The road, you get a phone call from somebody else who
mm-hmm.
said, so-and-so, who you have completely forgotten about, said, I need to talk to you because I want to do whatever it is that you have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how businesses are built. That's how sales
Absolutely.
Are made.
Absolutely. Janet, I have to tell you, this is a close that I don't look forward to, and that's the close of the show. because we could go on, and I'm
okay.
so enjoying this. I am so enjoying this. So, folks, I want y'all to stay tuned for future things that possibly Janet and I will be doing together on closing and cold calling and selling and doing business. So I want you to keep your ears open for that. But Janet, if someone's listening, one more time, where can they get in touch with you and how can they get a copy of your book?
My website is www.jwspeakersagency.com. I own the country's only booking agency for business owners, small business owners and licensed professionals who use free speaking as a way to build their business. We do not represent professional speakers, authors, coaches, solopreneurs, or anyone who wants to get paid to speak. This is strictly free speaking for business owners. That's www.jwspeakersagency.com. And you can also get my book called Calls to Closing on Amazon.
Wonderful. Janet, we're down to the last three questions here. First question is, when you're faced with obstacles, what keeps you going?
What obstacles?
I love that.
What do you mean by an obstacle?
I've not had that answer before.
What do you mean by an obstacle? The only obstacles that exist are in your mind. There's no such thing. There's nobody putting an obstacle in front of you except you. If you say it can't be done, you're right. If you say it's hard to get through, you're right. You're the one who chooses. It's easy to get through. I told you I love cold calling, and I do. And it shows. Most people hate cold calling, and you know what? It shows.
Sure.
Because they do. You can change your thinking. When you change your thinking, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Change your thinking and you change your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe in obstacles.
Yeah.
There's always a way.
Yeah. What's
the next question?
And so the next question is, other than a coach, who's influenced you the most?
Okay, I'll give you the name of the book. Many, many years ago, I took a one-day class with a man named David King, who I think is still alive, and he wrote a book that is out of print called The Best Way in the World for a Woman to Make Money. And you can probably get it on Amazon. It was published in 1979, so, right? And he did a one-day class on his approach, which became my approach, which is that selling is teaching, explaining, and persuading. Mm-hmm. It is not pitching and hustling. Mm-hmm. And everything he said made so much sense that I said, I get it. I completely revamped the way I thought about selling. And he discovered to his chagrin that being a sales manager, that was his profession, that women made better salesmen than salesmen did.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Because women intuitively teach and persuade. They don't pitch and hustle. Wow. And in that class, he sent us out for lunch and he said, come back and you're going to sell me something. I'll pick one of you. And he didn't pick me. He picked this gal and she said, I'm going to sell you. I'm going to this restaurant. And she started going, it's a great restaurant. You're going to love it. And he stopped her. And he said, do you go there? Do you like it? She said, oh, I go there all the time and I love it. And he turned to us and he said, do you see the difference?
Yep, exactly.
And that blew my mind. Oh, my God. Yes,
yeah.
I got it. So David King, The Best Way in the World for a Woman to Make Money, out of print, but hopefully you can get it somewhere online. And he runs a business, or ran a business a couple of years ago, called Careers for Women and Men. And he used to take housewives and turn them into corporate salespeople. And now he runs a placement agency for professional saleswomen in New York.
How interesting.
I think in Los Angeles as well. So you can look him up. Yeah. So that's the answer. He
love
wasn't
that.
An answer, but he was the biggest influence. Yeah.
Love that. Love that. The final question, is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that you want to share with our listeners?
In terms of what?
there's something that you would have, if you had known earlier, that you would have gotten different results by knowing that?
Well, I learned this. I first started this stuff at 16. How much earlier do you want to get? By the time I was out of college, I had formulated, tested, and proven a system of getting in and getting the yes that worked.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started reading the sales materials, say a quote-unquote sales training materials when I was 30, I got very confused. because they were telling me I was supposed to do something completely opposite the way that I did it. And I was supposed to expect all kinds of obstacles and objections and problems, and I didn't have any of that. I didn't get objections. I got people saying, come on in, let's work together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was the problem. And I realized the problem was they were causing their own obstacles. They were causing people to say no, and then they had to get they had to overcome the obstacles they had created for themselves. When you don't create obstacles, you don't get objections. People say yes, and it's easy. And you go, I wish I knew this 30 years ago. Well, I did. And I've been using it professionally for decades. And so I can't answer that question. Because how much earlier do you want to get than 16?
Yeah. I love that. Janet, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your unique perspective to cold calling and how you just kind of have taken some of the fear out of it.
Absolutely.
It is all in our head, isn't it?
That's right. It's all in your head. It's all a matter of perspective. Just think in terms of you are helping somebody. And a lot of people won't understand that, so they may decline the opportunity. See, there's no fear. They can say no. You heard no a lot as a kid. Did you curl up in the corner and die?
Somebody said no.
Of course not. You came back and you insisted and you came back. And guess what? You got your yes eventually. Mm-hmm. Or you got ignored. Either way, you didn't die. You didn't take it personally.
Right.
So, no fear.
Thanks again. Folks, be sure to get a copy of Janet's book, Cold Calls to Closing, What Every Small Business Should Know About Selling. You can get a copy of that on Amazon. Again, Janet, thanks so much for sharing today.
Oh, Linda, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Folks, I hope that you have a page full of notes because I know that I do. So be sure to get a copy of Janet's book because the approach that she takes to cold calling is really very different than anything that you have seen before. And she does talk about there needs to be a mental shift, a mind shift for you to get these great results, but it can work. So as always, I'm going to leave you with a quote. And Janet quoted Zig Ziglar earlier. Well, this is another quote of his. You were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and most of all, you have to expect to win. Zig Ziglar. Thanks again, folks, for joining us today on Empower Radio Show. Look forward to seeing you next time.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.